1 Corinthians 2:9. Things which eyes has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Things which eyes has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is praying that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 10. Paul is praying that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 10. Colossians 1, 27. To believers, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 27. To believers, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 27. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll be reading in a few moments Ephesians chapter 5, 25, 26, 27. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. We realize that our purpose for being here today, as always, is to advance in Christ, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are privileged indeed today, as always, to be able to be properly related to Jesus Christ. He's given us the means by which we can be in harmony. He's given us a system by which we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Over the years, we've looked at this many times. We know that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, we've been given a magnificent system which we call the grace system of comprehension, which means that when we come together in fellowship, we're able to open our hearts and minds to the impartation and dissemination of God's Word and thereby advance spiritually. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today that we are Your children, and we realize again that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. One of these days we'll leave this life. We do not know just when that will take place. It will take place either by means of the rapture or it will take place by means of our departure physically from this life. We realize that the Bible teaches to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. We thank You again for the assurance that salvation is ours because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. We realize also that while we're here on this earth, You have a plan for us, and that plan is for us to advance, to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You for the opportunity to do that again today. We pray that You will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your books, your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 5, but if you'll open your bulletin, you will notice that there's an insert there. And that insert, we reminded you of it this morning in the first session. We remind you of it again now. We have here a presentation of the timeline, an emphasis upon a period of time known as the tribulation, a And during that period of time known as the tribulation on the earth, 7 years, 2, 3.5 years each, there is a time on earth, there's a time of activity in heaven. You'll notice that time activity in heaven emphasizes the judgment seat of Christ on the one hand, and on the other hand, the marriage of the Lamb. So I wanted you to be assured that you were able to see the insert. We showed it to you on a diagram on the overhead projector, but you also have it there in your bulletin today. Take a look at it again, if you will, please. If you look to your left on that diagram, you'll see EP, which is Eternal Ages Past. If you take a look to the right, you will see Eternal Ages Future. Then you'll see an emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel. And then we have presented for you there the insertion of the church age, the age in which we are now living. We're aware of the fact that there's going to come a day when the church age will be consummated, and that will take place at the time known as the rapture, or the disappearance of the family of God on the earth. Also, if you'll notice that there is an emphasis here upon the rapture on the one hand and the second advent on the other hand. And there's a difference of 7 years between the rapture on the one hand and the second advent on the other hand. One of these days soon, we'll be dealing with the subject of the difference between the rapture and the second advent, but that's not our emphasis for today. Also, I wanted you to see that in today's bulletin, there is a presentation of the subject day. I'd ask you, if you will, please, to take a look at that for just a few moments. I will not insult your intelligence by reading all of this, because I know that you can read, but I do want you to be able to see some things here. An advanced believer considers every day as a gift from God. This is very important for us to understand, that every day that you and I live, this is a beautiful manifestation of God's grace to us, and it is a gift from God. We're living in this engagement time. We've talked about that. We realize that there are many distractions in this engagement period of time. There are all kinds of attractions that are interfering with our Christian lives, things that would get us off the track, things that would get us out of fellowship, things that would move us into thinking about things that are not in keeping with God's plan. So I think it's good for us to be able to see that while the engagement period is going on, that is from the beginning of the church age until the rapture of the body of Christ, this is the engagement time, and this is 2020, as all of us are aware of. And so there are many distractions on every hand, many enticements that would get us during this engagement time off the track. And so I want you to see that the emphasis here in this insert says that every gift, every day, is a gift from God. And Romans 14, 5 through 8, specifically verse 5 says, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. And then he says, let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. He who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. Verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. Verse 8 says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Very important that I reiterate what you can read for yourself, and that is, an advanced believer considers every day that God gives us as a magnificent gift. This is our engagement time to our Savior Jesus Christ. and we're to take advantage each day and utilize the days in accordance with His plan. You'll notice also that there's only the believer has the provisions to purchase fully and completely each day allowed to purchase time. In other words, you and I have been given those things which are necessary to purchase our time properly. James 4:6 reveals that the capital for purchasing time is called greater grace. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. It says here that life is short, and each day we have is a gift of grace. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Like life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Number three, you will notice another day for us pictures that God is faithful to us. And then we go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I don't intend to read all of this, but it's good for us to look at it. Number four, God has provided cash to redeem each day. And that's found in Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were discovered and acquired, found, and I did devour, eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. All of us are aware of the fact that God has given us His magnificent word, and we have the responsibility of feeding on spiritual food every single day. Jesus spoke, it is written, it has been written in the past with the results and still standing, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Most of you are familiar with that passage in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan is tempting Jesus. And this I've referred to many, many times over the past years. When Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan, He came back every time, and you look at those four temptations, every time He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And what's so beautiful about that is the verbs that are used there are in the perfect tense in the Greek, which says it has been written in the past, it stands written, it's been consummated in the past, and the results of that consummation continues to this very present moment. And so what we have here is a beautiful example of how we as believers can take advantage of what He wants us to take advantage of during our engagement period of time. What I'm trying to do today is to let you see that as long as God lets us live here on this earth, whether it be 50, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, this is a magnificent time. This is the engagement time. There are many distractions. There are many things that will get us off on our major subjects, but we're to stay on the major track, and we're to utilize this time that God gives us to advance spiritually and utilize truth. And that's the reason why Jesus was doing this in the incarnation while He was here on the earth. He said to the temptations of Satan, it has been written, it has been written, it has been written. I can depend upon it, and I put my faith in that which has been written. Number five on the back page of that inserted page today, every day is a special day. John 11, 9 and 10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. The emphasis in the scripture is on walking. We are to walk each day in the light, and he who walks in the light is going to be blessed greatly. You have a number of different verses of Scripture listed here. If you'll go down to the last point, it says we're to avoid mental sins because they bring misery. And that's found in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And this is so true for all of us. We do not know about tomorrow. We do know who holds tomorrow. Psalm 102, verses 1, 2, and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Our verses for now have to do with what the Lord has in store for us during our engagement time. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go to Ephesians 5, and let's look at verses 25, 26, and 27. This is a beautiful passage. Most of you have seen this passage. You've looked at it. You've studied it with me. It's a mighty, magnificent challenge to all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an emphasis upon the responsibility that a husband has, an emphasis upon the responsibility that we as believers have during this wonderful time called the Age of Grace. It says here, husbands, you have the responsibility to love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. Now let's stop for a moment and look to see what we're talking about as we deal with the subject of the marriage supper of the Lamb. What I've tried to do is to put myself down some notes. And I wanted to emphasize the fact that we have an emphasis in the Word of God on the fact that we're living in the age of grace. This is the engagement time. We do not know when we're going to leave this life by physical death. We do not know when we're going to leave this life by means of the rapture. So it's going to take place one of these days. And so the second major point of the marriage supper of the Lamb is, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you to see now, where and when shall this marriage of the Lamb, take place? You might want to write this down as a major division number 2 on the subject, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Where and when shall this marriage take place? You'll notice here that the marriage takes place in heaven. It takes place after the judgment seat of Christ. Most of us by now, having studied the judgment seat of Christ, are aware of the fact that the judgment seat of Christ is designed not to judge a person in relationship to salvation, but it is an emphasis upon rewards. The judgment seat of Christ is designed in relationship to rewards. And this judgment seat of Christ takes place before the appearing of Christ with his saints at the end of the time known as the rapture or the second advent, then will come afterwards. The character of the ceremony of the question is, and this is very interesting to me, who will it be, who will perform this ceremony? Now that, I want you to think about this for a few moments. We're taking a picture in our mind. We've seen the age of the Gentiles, the age of the church inserted. We've seen the rapture. We see what takes place in heaven. We see what takes place on the earth. What takes place on the earth is the 7 years of tribulation. On the earth, there are various things that we are going to study later, which is the Battle of Armageddon and so forth and so on. But we move up now and we're looking here at what takes place in heaven. What takes place primarily, two major things. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which we've already studied, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. The question that I have is, the marriage takes place in heaven. This takes place after the judgment seat. The judgment seat is a judgment of rewards. And before the appearing of Christ with his saints. So the character of the ceremony, the question is, who is it that's going to perform this ceremony? Now, we've already said, and you have it in mind now, this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is not the marriage supper of the bride. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you want to, you can include right there where the word Lamb is, put Son, the marriage supper of the Son. Now, if you're following along carefully and you're thinking, you're seeing now that this is a time when there's going to be a marriage. And it is not the marriage primarily with an emphasis upon the bride. It's an emphasis upon the Son. So the Heavenly Father is the one who will be performing this ceremony. So I put down then the character of the ceremony, or who shall perform it, though doubtless it will be our Heavenly Father, God Himself, and what vows the bridegroom and bride will take will not be disclosed. But there will be a ceremony of some kind that no divorce or separation can break. I'm trying to go slowly for you to be able to see something now. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is God Himself performing this ceremony. It's a ceremony of the Father performing for the Lamb, which is the Son. Now, we're aware of the fact that all church-age believers, from the beginning at Pentecost until the rapture, are taken up at the time of the rapture. And now we have the ceremony being performed. It says here, we do not know exactly what type of ceremony this will be. God will do the performing. We are not told in the Bible what the vows will be. The Father Himself will do the performing, and what vows the bridegroom and bride will take is not disclosed. But there will be some type of a ceremony that no divorce or separation can break. That cannot be questioned. For there never was a legal marriage without some ceremony. What is so beautiful is that the scripture I read at the beginning in Ephesians gives us a magnificent picture of the responsibility that a husband has to his wife and what the marriage relationship is. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So this is beautifully presented to us as The Lord Jesus Christ loves and continues to love every person saved by the grace of God from Pentecost on the one hand until the rapture on the other hand. Most of us are aware of the fact that this is a wonderful time, the church age. When you study the church age, you will see so many things related to what we would classify as the pre-canon and post-canon period. Those of you who have studied with me over the years have seen this very clearly. The difference between the pre-canon and post-canon period of time. I have to hit you in the mentality of your soul now. When I say pre-canon and post-canon, I want to bring you up to where we're able to see what we're talking about. We have to understand that the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts and the Pauline epistles, if you look over these and discover the date of their writing, there's a difference in time. Many people do not understand this, and as a result of that, they get very confused because they choose to make Age of Israel time, church age time. There is a state of confusion in the minds of many people. I'm not going to go into any detail here other than to tell you that when you get into the Pauline epistles, you will discover that they were written at a different time than you will find Matthew, Mark, or Luke. You will find in the Synoptic Gospels, Synoptic means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will find that those books were written in Age of Israel time. I hope you're able to understand what I'm saying. You have to understand, if you hear the word pre-canon and post-canon, you'll have to understand that you and I are living today after 95 and 96 A.D. And we understand that the book of Revelation came on the scene about 95 or 96 A.D. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to be able to see that people do not comprehend and do not understand that there were certain things that took place during the pre-canon period that don't take place in the post-canon period. I'm looking at you, and I'm not sure. It seems to me that I see rub board faces. You know, my mother washed clothes on a rub board. Are any of you familiar? I'm too old for you folks. Do you know what a rub board is? Okay. A rub board is a rub board that's rough. And sometimes when I'm preaching and I look at people's faces, it's not a smooth face. It's all wrinkled up. And I say to myself, I see a rub board face, which I'm not being ugly to you when I say that. It just means that I'm understanding that you're having a little difficulty comprehending what I'm saying. And that's okay. I don't mind that. I really don't mind that. In fact, I enjoy that because it helps me say to myself, you need to talk a little bit more about that and smooth out some of those wrinkles. You have to understand, when you study the New Testament, when you understand what we have in the Scriptures, that there's a difference between some of the activities of the pre-canon period and what are the activities of the post-canon period. That's the reason why so many people today are trying to reproduce pre-canon gifts in the post-canon period. And they're frustrated and confused because they are in the midst of emotionalism and they don't understand what in the world is not taking place or is taking place. Could I ask a question, but don't answer it? Am I making sense? Am I helping you see something? In the pre-canon period of time, God used certain things to allow individuals, biblical individuals, to have what we would classify as credit cards or legitimate information to prove that they were legitimate in what they were doing at that particular time. These are pre-canon spiritual gifts. And many pre-canon spiritual gifts were hissed off the stage as revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All you have to do is get over there and study carefully and diligently 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you'll find how and when certain pre-canon spiritual gifts were hissed off the stage. I don't know why I'm getting into all this, except I just feel like you need it. One of the things that the Apostle Paul is doing here is letting us see that husbands and wives have a responsibility to each other. And the husband has the responsibility of loving his wife. And during this engagement period of time, which is the church age where we're living, husbands and wives are to be united and become one flesh. And nowhere is there a command for the wife to love her husband, but the scripture says she is to reverence him. And that means she is to respect him. Okay. It's going to be time to go home pretty soon. I'm not through. Let's look at it. Therefore, husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It's God's plan for a husband to be the king and the wife to be the queen of the home. I promise you, any woman that has real good sense will appreciate being a queen. And when she's treated like a queen and loved like a queen, there's no question in my mind that she, if she has good sense, will have reverence and response that's a proper response to a husband who loves her like Christ loved the church. We're talking about the engagement time. Christ presents her to himself, the scripture says, as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. I want to drop this on to you and then we'll leave. No matter what your age is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that means that you have been saved by His grace. And the amount of time that He has left for you and me on the earth, this is our part of the time that God is calling for us, our engagement time. It's a time that we are responsible for properly advancing spiritually. It's our time to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But be aware of the fact that there are many attractions. There are many temptations that's coming to you and me in this engagement time. Our engagement is to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world is out there to get us. The satanic influence is strong. More so, it seems, now than ever. And you and I have a mind. And we have a heart. The heart is the cardia in the scripture, which is the mentality of the soul. And you and I, with the mentality of the soul, have a responsibility of making decisions when these satanic attractions come our way. And they'll be coming. You've already experienced it, and you will experience more and more. And as time goes on, those attractions will become more increasing in your life and mine. And this is our engagement time to our Lord. We must be aware of the fact that these satanic attractions are very strong, very alluring, very enticing. And we've got to be able to make good decisions. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. We as the members of the bride have a responsibility to the groom. Not to be yielding ourselves to those enticing satanic attractions. He says, I want to present you as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, does that make sense? Does that challenge us in any way? Does that help us to see that no matter how long we live or how short we live, we've got a responsibility during this engagement time to push aside, to knock aside the satanic attractions and live our lives in accordance with God's wonderful plan. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, help us to understand this. We realize that time at the longest for us on the earth is really very short. We do not know how long you're going to let us live. It may be for years, it may be for days, it may be for hours, it may be for minutes. We do not know. But while we're here, help us to realize our responsibility to the groom. Help us to know that we have the responsibility of living a life that is compatible to your plan. And especially there now, those who are hearing my voice today who've never accepted you, we pray that they will understand that salvation is a gift of God. And the scripture says, I want to give you that gift. Trust me, believe me, accept me. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for your willingness to leave heaven's glory and become the God-man in the flesh and go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. We pray that there will be many today who will accept you as their Savior. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. Help us during this engagement time to push aside the distractions, push aside the satanic attacks, and live a life that is pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.